This is Talk Is Cheap on KPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peace Works Independent Community Radio. All right, so I went to the November 17th A15 rally, and you can tell I caught cold over the weekend. And so they need your support for the trial. They're having a trial, and they need people to pack the court. So they need your support. One of them has been unfairly targeted. For further details on how to support the Eugene 19, stay tuned at A15 Eugene. And those trials are happening on Thursdays. But go to Instagram at A15 Eugene. I've got a couple of anecdotes that relate to this about what they're on trial for is blocking the highway for the Palestinians to call attention to the Palestinian conflict and the Israeli genocide, because I can't really call it anything else. And so I got a couple of anecdotes here that relate to this. So during the Iraq War and the Afghanistan War, I was living in Los Angeles, and the federal building is right there on Wilshire and Sepulveda, where the 405, there's an exit on the 405. And so the federal building just happens to be right in front. The demonstration, if you're in front of the federal building, you're going to end up blocking the off-ramp. You're not blocking the exact off-ramp, but you're blocking the where the cars go from the off-ramp. So it ends up blocking the 405. So I was working as a file clerk in the San Fernando Valley at a doctor's office, and one of the doctors was upset because she couldn't pick up her kid from daycare. And my friends were upset. They work in downtown in Hollywood, and they couldn't get home to their house in the valley because of this demonstration. So what this is they're inconvenienced. And I'm sorry that you're inconvenienced, but people are dying. And so the other thing is there's no danger. You know, the doctor didn't say she was kept from her patients, because in Los Angeles and here in Oregon too, doctors, there's someone that can relieve you if you can't get somewhere. And in LA, you have to allow 5 hours to get over the hill. And there can be a traffic jam at any time. Here, I used to work as a truck driver here in Oregon, and coming from Albany to Eugene, every week there was some traffic accident or something that would disrupt the freeway. So this happens all the time. So to say that someone doing a demonstration on the freeway is potentially causing damage because ambulances can't get through, that's just not true. So there's doctors and helicopters and all kinds of things that can be brought in. So there are alternative safety measures that can be taken, and demonstrations don't block those alternative safety measures. Down the street from the federal building in Los Angeles is Wilshire and Western Boulevard, is one of the most traveled over spaces in the world, because Wilshire Boulevard and Westwood Boulevard are like 4 and 5 and 6 lanes of traffic crossing one another. Literally more traffic than like you would think in India. So, yeah. And then the other thing is, the other issue that I want to mention is business as usual. You know, when there's a war going on, you can't have business as usual. You know, that's why we have these demonstrations, is because you have to be inconvenienced. And what happens is you may be inconvenienced now, but if war goes on further, you're going to be inconvenienced even more. And I can cite you war after war where, and time after time where there's been false information and no need to go to war. And if activists hadn't called it out, it would have gone on a lot longer. And it's a good thing that activists had called it out. This happens over and over again, where unnecessary wars with the wrong countries, and it turns out the activists were right in trying to stop it. So, and if you're going to, and then you are further inconvenienced. We were inconvenienced with Vietnam. We were inconvenienced with the oil crisis in 76 from war in the Middle East. We were inconvenienced of the Iraq War. Like I say, basically, in my opinion, caused the financial crisis of 2008. So an example of business as usual is, why do we still go on with sports? I've always said that if we canceled professional sports or all televised sports until there was peace on earth, it might take a week, but we would have, it would be done in a week. And, you know, it occurs to me that goes for movies and things like that. If we stopped the entertainment industry until there was no war and poverty, we would solve that in pretty quickly. And so for all of us, if you're still, you know, entertaining yourselves, that's business as usual when people are dying and brutally being killed. So I'm as guilty as anyone else. And so it's not just you sports fanatics out there, but really, should we really be entertaining ourselves while war is going on? All right, so coming up, the A15 rally from November 17th. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. And for more information, that's at A15 Eugene on Instagram. And the trials are on Thursdays at the courthouse on 8th Street here in Eugene.
I mean, I know I participated in the protest for that reason. And I know, like, I don't know, whenever I see my extended family and I tell them about the organizing work that I've been seeing and being a part of, and the solidarity that I've been witnessing, well, I'm here is, I don't know, seeing them get so happy is another thing that gives me a lot of hope. And my uncle said something one time. He said, like, something about, finally somebody is standing back up in our family and, like, you know, saying the right thing and doing the right thing. Yeah. And and saying it's, like, a right or wrong thing to be protesting for this is also, like, adding any sort of connotation to, you know, fighting for solidarity, or fighting in solidarity with the Palestinian people is, it feels off, because I feel like everybody should be doing everything that they can. Like, how do you witness such inhumanity in the Middle East and not want to, I don't know, block a highway? I didn't realize, I didn't get louder on purpose at that point. Anyway, but it worked. I just think it's important that this, like, the organizing for the Palestinian people is, like, a base part of people's lives. And again, seeing so many people here on a cold Tuesday afternoon, like, middle of the week, people have work and school and stuff, but it means a lot to see everyone here. And these are all, you know, friends of mine. Everybody, we're all friends here, you know? Yeah, well, I guess I did have an okay amount to say. And I don't know what else to say without being unserious, so.
Do what you want.
All right, no, that would be bad. Never mind. Okay, I don't know. I keep saying, it really does mean the world that people show up for the Palestinian cause every single day. It allows me to, like, seeing all this gives me the motivation to get myself up out of bed and just do normal stuff. Like, I grew up in Orange County, California, where a lot of social issues go, like, completely unseen and unheard or talked about, unless you're in Los Angeles, because there are just many people there. But, like, basically what I'm trying to say is that the amount of community and, like, solidarity that I've been witnessing and experiencing and, you know, feeling is super incredible. And I don't know, maybe this will motivate you to tell your friends to, you know, start doing what they can for the cause. Because especially following these election results, we, like, to put it succinctly, we got a lot of work to do. And it's going to need, you know, people, like, collective power and energy. And that's why this demand is in place. It's not really about me. It's about not leaving any of the defendants behind. So, yeah, snaps for that. That's, yeah. So, thank you. Don't leave your friends behind. Free Palestine. Long live the Intifada. Chris Perosa, you're an asshole.
Thank you so much, Solemn. So next up, a couple of defendants are going to go take a letter up to Chris Perosa, which they have lovingly crafted with all of the warmth and kindness from their hearts. And we'll keep having speeches and while they go do that. I just want to echo some of the stuff that Solemn said about like the support that I've seen for these defendants. Like, some things I admire about them is that they are doing like so much behind the scenes to support each other. Everything from like having meetings, helping each other with trial prep, doing media after trials to get out to the rest of the community what's going on, like creating zines, creating Instagram content, doing mainstream media stories, press interviews. All like the defendants who took plea deals because that was what was right for them or because they needed to have still showed up and are still helping. And another thing I admire about these people is that every single chance they get, every time they're platformed, they're talking about Palestine. They're like on the stand, they're talking about Palestine. They're talking about Palestine so much that the DA is objecting and the judge is like sometimes overruling it and sometimes allowing it. Like they're just trying, they're like bringing it into the courtrooms. They're bringing it into the press. They're talking about it as much as they can. And it's really fucking awesome. Okay, so we're gonna send them on their way to deliver the letter. Good luck to you. Do you want to read the letter?
Yeah. It's sealed. Wait, I can get it.
I'm just gonna read the contents of the letter. To Christopher Perosa and Office of the District Attorney, we, the citizens of Eugene, are here to ask you and your office for one thing. Drop the charge of disorderly conduct 2 that is currently being leveled against the Palestinian American student and activist Solemn Younis. If you do this, 1, all remaining defendants slated for trial on the same charge will accept a plea deal, as stated in their official offer. 2, the courts, lawyers, and defendants will be spared the expense of 14 more trials. 3, you will have done the right thing. We urge you to do this immediately. Sincerely, your constituents.
Okay, sounds like we got a report from inside that the jury is in deliberation. Cool. Okay, so next up, we've got Ev with a speech.
Hi, everyone. Good charge, good trial. I'm an 815 defendant. I'm set to go to trial a month from now. But more importantly, I'm engaging in an active collective defense. I refuse, as Penny shared, to accept. And I'm refusing to accept any deals from the district attorney's office as long as the state is singling out my friend and comrade Solemn. If I took a deal back in April, I'd already be done with probation by now and I could be getting my charges expunged. So why am I taking my case and my charges to trial? Because I will not leave any of my comrades or co-defendants behind. It's that simple. The same principles that lead me to fight for the liberation of Palestine from the river to the sea also leads me to fight against the state at home when they attempt to silence us, to divide us, to lock us up, as they're tried to do to some of our comrades. In case anybody hasn't heard, the prosecutor's been trying to level 30 days in jail plus 2 months in probation, a $2,500 fine, and 60 hours of community service against us. Boo. Yeah, it's that simple. Like, fighting for liberation anywhere of oppressed peoples also means standing up against state repression and remaining in solidarity with each other. I want to be clear. With the trial, I have no interest in being proven innocent or guilty. I have no interest in the possible sentence I'll receive. I don't care about a few days in jail, nor do I care about probation. What I do care about is solidarity. This is the most basic principle of any struggle. No matter the threat of repression, if we don't fight together, we don't fight at all. The state is trying to divide us by drawing the line between legitimate and illegitimate forms of protest, which we should all qualitatively reject. Personally, I don't want to appear legitimate to a state that is committing genocide. That state is illegitimate to me. The state is also trying to divide us by offering some of us better deals than others in order to break our solidarity and in order to intimidate our Palestinian American comrade Salem, which we also should all reject. We will not be intimidated. We will remain in solidarity, and we will continue to engage in collective defense together. The same state that is committing genocide cannot be relied upon to provide justice. That same state that is providing the weapons for genocide cannot be relied upon to provide justice. The same state that is giving political cover for genocide cannot be relied upon to provide justice. The same state that was founded upon genocide cannot be relied upon to provide justice. And that's all this building represents. The same state that is repressing comrades all across the country, those principled few who fight back against genocide, branding them in some cases as terrorists or in others as criminals, cannot be relied upon to provide justice. We will get nowhere by remaining passive or by remaining fearful. We will get nowhere if we don't fight back and if we don't continue to escalate the struggle and if we don't begin to take real disruptive action. A15 was a start of that. That day on tax day when our labor went to pay for the weapons of genocide and destruction, comrades all around the world shut down ports, airports, highways, factories. That day, comrades began to move past symbolic actions towards actions that can do real damage to the economic foundations of capitalist imperialism, colonialism, and genocide, and to sabotage the war machine. In Eugene, the A15 action was not perfect, but it was a start, and I believe we'll emerge stronger from it because we took collective risks together. We experimented with bolder tactics together and fought and are still fighting repression together. If we made mistakes, it was because the state knew in advance that an action was to occur and was ready with hundreds of police to arrest us. But we'll learn from our mistakes, how to escalate the struggle, how to avoid and fight back against repression. What else have we done in Eugene? Calling and writing letters to representatives, that hasn't gotten us anywhere. Tame and passive rallies with peace police keeping people on the sidewalks, hasn't gotten us anywhere. The university encampment, my friends and comrades that were a part of it, I love and respect them. They prioritized negotiations and that went nowhere and deals that were easily forgotten afterwards, which didn't get us anywhere. And A15, even though it wasn't perfect, was a start. Remaining passive in the face of genocide will create deeper scars than those resulting from the mistakes we'll inevitably make by taking action. That's something the revolutionary Anne Hansen said. The responsibility and risks of fighting are great, but the cost of not fighting, the human toll from the ongoing rule of imperialism is infinitely greater. That's something the revolutionary David Gilbert said. A15 is a start, and it's making us stronger because we're refusing to collaborate with the repressive arm of the state, but it's just a start. We should call on all people to stand in solidarity with those who take direct action to resist the genocidal force of American imperialism. We should call on all people to refuse to collaborate and to escalate the struggle against genocide. We're over a year into one of the worst stains on humanity, and we're irreparably compromised and complicit so long as we refuse to act. Seriously, like, what do we have to lose except for our complicity? A15 was a start, but the struggle continues against repression, against genocide, against the imperialist state, and next time we'll be stronger. More importantly, next time we won't get caught. And one thing before I go, we're, you know, a year and a half of probation. Even though that sucks, that isn't much compared to some of the worst repression that's being levied upon those who take the most risks around the country. Just a couple of days ago, the Merrimack Four comrades that shut down and sabotaged an Elbit factory in New Hampshire. Elbit, of course, is one of the main weapons manufacturers of drones for Israel. They just started their jail sentence for, I think, a minimum of 30 days in New Hampshire jail. Look them up, write them letters, support them. Our comrade Casey Goonan in Berkeley, who's alleged to have set police cars on fire in defense of the student intifada, they're still in jail months later with a $1 million bail. And are facing decades and decades in prison for standing up against genocide, and we should all support Casey, write them letters. Drop the charges against Solemn, but more importantly, drop the charges against anybody who resists. Drop the charges against the Merrimack Four, against Casey Goonan. Free them all, free Palestine, and yeah, good trial, fuck a charge.
Hell yeah, thanks, Ev. I really appreciate that sentiment, and if I have anything to echo on it, it's like, if you escalate, we will be there for you. Like, this isn't just for this crew. This is for anybody who does anything. Like, if you blockade it, if you do worse than that, like, what? Like, we'll have your back, and we'll be there for you, and we're not going to go away. And do your dreams. Go out there. Do them. The world needs you to do them. Okay, next up we have a speech by Shakar.
Thanks for having me speak. One of the pressing issues of the genocide of Palestinians is the dehumanization. Dehumanization has led to the slaughter of doctors, nurses, teachers, ambulance drivers, tens of thousands of children, heritage sites, religious institutions, universities. None are seen as human. None are seen as deserving of dignity, protection, outrage, revolution. It is this, juxtaposed against state repression, media repression, that catapults us into the streets, into marches, rallies, and jail cells. It is this knowledge of the horrors of settler colonial terror that moves us to action, moves us to care for one another and to show up for Palestine, Lebanon, and all oppressed people of the Middle East, Global South, and right here in Eugene. Zionism, like white supremacy, is everywhere. These grotesque ideologies are deeply embedded in the courts, the cops, the school systems. What do we have to combat this seemingly invincible adversary? We have each other, and we have a deep truth on our side, a knowledge that even though they can chain our body, they'll never chain our movement. Our understanding, thank you. Our understanding of history and that all corrupt empires fall. The further they fall into fascism, the faster they crumble. I may be wishing naively, but I have to hold on to the hope that we will see Zionism smashed in our lifetime. Long live Palestine, long live the global intifada. Resistance by any means necessary. May our dear comrade Solemn gain the freedom he deserves, and may this rotten judicial system go down the toilet. I want to leave y'all with one last thing. Get into the resistance. Don't drown in defeatism. Learn about the ways in which the armed resistance is fighting back. Learn about the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement. Deepen your knowledge of the region. Okay, that wasn't one thing, but you get my drift. Free Palestine, free all oppressed people. And if I'm allowed to, I'm gonna read a poem. Hey, Rennie. Okay, stick with me, kid. All right, this one's called The Genocide Rages On. Crushed babies, dogs with rabies, scavengers among the rubble, too grotesque to describe. How many bribes did it take to flatten Gaza? How does the stench of death feel in a mother's nose? Are her cries too piercing to hear? What's not clear? And as she mourns her son, who picked up a rifle to defend her tears, what's not clear? Becomes destined to be the source of her pride and agony. Extermination, nation, genocide across the countryside. Bear witness, seethe in the open air, my dears. For their greatest fear is our unity in guillotines, our understanding that nothing justifies the wholesale slaughters of babies, that there is a price paid sooner than later, buried now, how many more? Beneath the resistance, feeding resilience and rage, beyond age, late stage cannibalism, I saw Hind Rajab. and a world of demons, of buffoons and butchery, bloated bodies, alive and unalived, hive mind. Where is our spear? Where our scales of justice? Where our love for all? It's a dead giveaway, but we are standing under the empire. Don't worry who's sticking their bones in the wheels. Throw your weight into dismantling this tormenting tyranny of oppression, because this shit ain't over. Organize while you eulogize. Eulogize while you organize. Those are our choices and our voices of defiance. Kicking dirt into the eyes of empire are a balm to the brutality. You didn't think it stayed beyond the Atlantic. It's coming home. And I'm scared shitless for all the babies, because I've seen what they're capable of, my love. We must kiss our darlings nonstop, for it has to be love that binds us together. Not history, nor teardrops. The things Zionists covet, sincere warmth, empathy, the determination to face reality, to pick away at the walls, the shrapnel, the pain, and fill it with gauze and samud. Thank you.
Thank you, Shakar. That was awesome. There are some really cool homemade stickers by one of our friends, who's a really cool artist, that are over on the table. Free cake, homemade soup, homemade croutons. Come get things and feel good. Okay, next up we got one more speech. This is by Sarah.
Hi, thank you all for coming. It's nice to see so many faces here on a Tuesday on a weird time, so this is awesome. I'm short. Growing up, I wondered what my life would look like and how the future would unfold. And now I'm in awe at the intensity and beauty that I've seen so far in my lifetime. I came to age during the last remnants of the environmental movement before the Green Scare repression. And during a large-scale anti-Iraq war movement and the World Trade Organization protests that brought thousands into the streets nationwide. And then Occupy Wall Street followed not far behind that, targeting economic inequality, as well as Standing Rock, the water protectors at Standing Rock. We felt the isolation of a global pandemic, which gave way to a major civil rights uprising against police brutality. Once again, all walks of life came out to protect the blatant racism of the strong arm of the state. These are only a fraction of events, but ones that left a big impact on me. Events that gave me hope that things really don't have to be so dismal. Now, once again, we're faced with a call to action against the genocidal regime and the mass murder of the indigenous people of Palestine. The death toll is on an unimaginable scale. It adds to the horror to know that the Biden administration was responsible for theft of U.S. tax dollars to arm Israel in the ongoing genocide. This was despite a massive public outcry for a ceasefire. Hundreds of Doctors Without Borders volunteers wrote a letter to Biden telling a story of children in Gaza being targeted by snipers and of mass starvation. International human rights groups pleaded with the U.S. to stop arms trade to Israel due to severe human rights violations. These efforts seem to have fallen on deaf ears. The worst crimes against humanity are done by the rich and powerful who have immunity to the so-called justice system. On April 15th of this year, which we know as Tax Day, myself and many others joined a National Day of Economic Blockade targeting ports, freeways, and other major avenues of trade, standing arm in arm with other people who care deeply about speaking out for the people of Gaza. All I could think about was entire families being destroyed by bombs that my tax dollars were funding. Direct action is an escalation of dissent that fills the vacuum of space that should have been represented by elected officials. The truth is, politicians represent the lobbyists lining their pockets and no one else. Blocking major roadways was used in the Vietnam anti-war movement. They were inspired by the civil rights movement, using the same tactics. Persistence with civil disobedience that loudly speaks the truth takes courage, but it is necessary for change. I've spoken enough about the intensity of this age. The beauty that I've seen is in the brave people who care enough to protect others. The only reason that we have the rights we have today is because people fought dearly for them. That is how we keep them. I've been so fortunate to meet the most brilliant, genuinely caring people who just want to leave things better than they found them. People who can stare directly into a nightmare and wonder, how can we fix it? Remember the people who hid Jewish families in their attics during the Holocaust. Remember the Underground Railroad to free slaves in the US. Remember, don't lose hope, be brave. Our comrade Salem, for example, is a Palestinian American who has fought passionately for ending genocide in Gaza, and they deserve support in getting the clearly discriminatory charges dropped. Salem, we love you, and we need more people like you. It's true. So in closing, to the Holocaust survivors screaming never again, we hear you. To the people of Gaza pleading for peace, we see you. And to those afraid to speak up, remember, a better life is possible, but only if we have the courage to defend each other now. Honor the dead and fight like hell for the living. Thank you.
Wow, y'all, feeling really humbled by all these words. Thank you so much, Sarah, and Shakar, and Solemn. Yeah. And Ev. Everybody. Okay, we are going to hear some more songs from Big Scare, and then we'll wrap it up for the day. So feel free to get some soup and some cake and enjoy the music.
Hi again. A couple more songs for you. Yes, the first one we're going to do is an old anti-fascist song from Italy called Bella Ciao. Sing along if you know it. Mattina mi sono alzato. Oh bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. Una mattina mi sono alzato e ho trovato l'invasore. Oh partigiano, portami via. Oh bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. Partigiano, portami via, che mi sento di morire. Se io muoio da partigiano, oh bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. E se io muoio da partigiano, tu mi devi seppellire. morire seppellire la sua montagna. Oh bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, 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 e seppellire la sua montagna sotto l'ombra di un bel fiore. E le genti che passeranno, oh bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, 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 e le genti che passeranno mi diranno che bel fiore, questo è il fiore del partigiano. Oh bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, 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 e questo è il fiore del partigiano morto per la libertà. E questo è il fiore del partigiano morto per la libertà.
Thank you, thank you. Cool, cool, cool. As a couple more A15 defendants, we are just so happy to see everybody here. The support has been incredible the entire time, so love, love this community. Okay. This one is from Phil Oakes, and I think it was written in like 1965. In the state of Mississippi, many years ago, a boy of 14 years got a taste of Southern law. He saw his friend a-hangin', his color was his crime, and the blood upon his jacket put a brand upon his mind. Too many martyrs and too many dead. Too many lies, too many empty words were said. Too many times, far too many angry men. Oh, let it never be again. His name was Medgar Evers, and he walked his road alone, like Emmett Till and thousands more whose names we'll never know. They tried to burn his home, and they beat him to the ground. But deep inside, they both knew what it took to bring him down. Too many martyrs and too many dead. Too many lies, too many empty words were said. Too many times, far too many angry men. Oh, let it never be again. The killer waited by his home, hidden by the night. Whenever he stepped out from his car into the rifle sight, he slowly squeezed the trigger, the bullet left his side. It struck the heart of every man when Evers fell and died. Too many martyrs and too many dead. Too many lies, too many empty words were said. Too many times, far too many angry men. Oh, let it never be again. And they laid him in his grave when the bugle sounded clear. Laid him in his grave when the victory was near. As we waited for the future, for freedom through the land, the country gained a killer and the country lost a man. Too many martyrs and too many dead. Too many lies, too many empty words were said. Too many times, far too many angry men. Oh, let it never be again. Oh, let it never be again. All right, we got one more. Once again, if you know it, feel free to get into it. Another head hangs lowly, child is slowly taken. When the violence caused such silence, who are we mistaken? But you see, it's not me, it's not my family. In your head, they are fighting with their tanks and their bombs and their drones and their guns. In your head, they are crying. In your head, zombie, zombie, zombie. What's in your head? In your head, zombie, zombie, zombie. Another mother's breaking heart is taking over. When the violence causes silence, we must be mistaken. It's the same old theme since 1916. In your head, they're still fighting with their tanks and their bombs and their drones and their guns. In your head, they are dying. In your head, zombie, zombie, zombie. What's in your head? In your head, zombie, zombie, zombie. Thank you for your kind attention. Have a wonderful evening. And here's Penny.
Okay, surprise, an addition has been added to the lineup. We have Dot the Rose impulsively wanting to play a song on the ukulele that they wrote for Palestine.
This is a song that I wrote for Palestine and everything that's continuously fucking happening.
Dot the rose.
A song that I wrote for Palestine and everything that's continuously fucking happening.
We see you,
dear Palestine. Oh, they can wake up from this nightmare. Can dreams truly be worse than what's happening? But I beg you, stand up, let's make things clear. Our government's evil, but we're the ones to fear. Dear Palestine, you won't disappear.
Thank you, Dot the Rose. Okay, we're going to wrap up. We're going to just do a little chanting, and then we'll, if you want to hang out, our defendant should be getting out of trial soon, or feel free to head out. So anyways, from the river to the sea,
Palestine will be free.
From the river to the sea,
Palestine will be free.
From the river to the sea.
I work for the low-power FM radio station, and we have a Northwest music
mix. Free, free, Palestine.
We put on there, so if you guys want to submit stuff,
free, free, Palestine.
Low-power FM now.
Free, free, Palestine.
We have a submission process on the website, but if you can't get it, you can email me.
Thanks for coming, y'all. Thanks for being out here on a cold, cold night.
How's it going?
You gotta pet the dog. Hi,
Bob. Yeah.
Oh, you're pretty dog.
Yeah. No one's out there.
That happened with them.
Warm leatherette. Warm leatherette. Warm leatherette. Warm leatherette. See the breaking glass in the underpass. See the breaking glass in the underpass. Warm leatherette. Warm leatherette. Warm leatherette. Warm leatherette. Hear the crushing steel. Feel the steering wheel. Hear the crushing steel. Feel the steering wheel. Warm leatherette. 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 Warm leatherette melts on your burning flesh. You can see your reflection in the luminescent dash. Warm leatherette. Warm leatherette. Warm leatherette. Warm leatherette. A tear of petrol is in your eye. The handbrake penetrates your thigh. Quick, let's make love before you die.